is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk, and I'm on Vivica in the San Francisco Bay. We just took her out for a beautiful sail, and I'm here with Milos. And Milos, tell us a little bit about where you came from and what you're doing.
Hey, good day. I just came from the East Coast, from Cape Cod, and I came to San Francisco to help a friend, Jerry, who runs the amazingly beautiful boat Vivica, which is in the final stage of her restoration and bringing to new life. And we just finished. Amazing sail. It's my first time in San Francisco, and I love every bit of it.
This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk, and I am here on Vivica with...
My name's Mark Nile.
How was it today?
It was really great. It was slow at the beginning, but we got some pus by the end of it, and of course it's great. Sailing on a 1929 schooner, how could it ever not be great?
Where are you from, and where did you come before you came here to Vivica?
I'm from South Sydney, Australia, where I did my boat building apprenticeship, and then I went to Canada for the best part of 3 years before coming down here to California to work for Jeff.
How is it to see this project finished?
Oh, exhilarating, fantastic, a whole bunch of words like that, I guess.
This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk, and I'm here on Vivica with the captain, Jerry Adkins. And Jerry, how was it being out and seeing this beautiful boat finished and going out and sailing today?
Incredibly satisfying. It's been a long haul this year. We came here in January, so almost a year ago. It's been a tough year, but it's very satisfying to have the job done, and the boat is sailing great, and she's a lovely boat to sail, and we're really happy, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having me aboard. It was great sailing with you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Really appreciate it.
So I'm here on Vivica with Magdalena. And Magdalena, this is your first time out sailing, but you went up to the top of the mast. How was that?
Yes, it was a little scary, but pretty amazing. No other view like the top of the mast. And plus, you're sitting in a chair, so it still feels pretty safe.
And now you're sailing at the helm.
Yeah, first time on one of my dad's boats. And it's quite the experience. It's a great time.
This is Karen Lyle, and I'm here with Monpuya, who was drumming for us on Vivica today. How'd you like the sail?
I mean, sailing was good. I mean, being with you guys, it was lovely. And then it's a beautiful day. On top of that, drumming, yeah, they mixed my day today by drumming and you dancing. It was a wonderful.
It was fantastic, Dave.
Fantastic. I love it.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Tuesday at 9:40, that's when Karen Lyle co-hosts a segment brought to you by SailSportTalk.com, which I believe is the only sailing segment that appears every week on a nationally syndicated radio show. And Karen Lyle has graced us with her own self right here in our studios. How you doing?
I'm doing just great.
What can you tell us? And we're just, and by the way, if you ever had a sailing question, this is the time to call in, because we had a little a hiccup with the guest. So it's just Karen and I. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. When I look out, and you know me, I'm a sailing neophyte, and I see the tall ships with their multiple, I'm going to say like 15, 20 sails, whatever it is. And then I look at a ship like a little dinghy with three sails. Is it the same concept, or is it night and day two different things?
Well, the wind and the currents and the waves are all the same for whatever the size of vessel that you're on, or even if it's a canoe or whatever. You're having to deal with the same conditions. So the principles of moving a boat with a sail through the water are the same. You have the sail at approximately 45 degrees to the wind, and you go forward. But the differences between the way those sails are aligned when you have multiple sails, like you do on a tall ship that can have up to 37 sails, and the way in which a crew is commanded are very, very different. For example, you know, I mean, I would say, if I were making an analogy to this, I would say that that managing a tall ship, a captain who manages a tall ship, it's kind of like a, you know, a mid-sized business. You know, you've got crew, you have roles and hierarchy and positions for everybody. And, you know, the captain says something, the first mate, you know, commands the crew to do this, and they all call to each other in this old-fashioned way. They're calling across the ship. It might be 112 feet or longer. And in a small ship, that's kind of like a sole proprietorship, or, you know, somebody out there, they might be single-handing, which means they're doing it all themselves, or just a very small crew. And so everything is much quicker, and it can be multiple, same person can do multiple roles.
Very interesting. All right, I'm going to throw this at you. Are you ready for a little quick association?
We'll see.
All right. This is when we're making up a segment out of the seat of my pants. I like this one. There was a college offshore regatta on the East Coast this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And fittingly, it was won by the United States Naval Academy over the likes of Carls of Charleston, University of Michigan, University of Rhode Island, South Carolina, Wisconsin, Toledo, also being the Coast Guard Academy, the East Coast Merchant Marines, North Carolina State. But every single college had a different boat in the regatta. And I've never heard of any of them. And I'm going to throw them at you. And just if you can give me a little blurb on each one, or just say, never heard of it. You want to do that?
Sure.
Let's do it. A J-120 Illyria.
Yes, I definitely know what that is.
What is that?
So it is a J-Boats is the manufacturer, and they make several racing boats. In fact, the J... Now, I have not sailed on that particular one. I have sailed on some of the other J-boats, the J-24, the J-109. They are just made to be racing boats, and they're also teaching boats.
Well, they're almost all J's here. The J-36 Soul.
Yes.
The J-111 Heatwave. The J-120 Keel Force. The J-35 Aero. The J-105 Rum Front. The J-105 Ruckus. The J-105 Skimmer, and the J-111 Wide Load.
So what these have in common is they're all by the same manufacturer. And I was just having a conversation with Rear Admiral John Bidoff, retired from the U.S. Navy. You remember we had him on our show in 2020. Mm-hmm. And he...
That Rear Admiral was a Wide Load.
He was the one who had... you know, who helped evacuate during the earthquake
here.
Yeah,
no, he was an officer and a gentleman in every way. Yeah.
Absolutely. And he and I both serve on the advisory board for the Treasure Island Museum. And we were talking about the Navy's postgraduate foundation school in Monterey.
Mm-hmm.
And we had interviewed Mitch Kempsey, who was a commodore of that just recently, and about the role of sailing in relationship to the Navy. And what John said, he says, you know, I've never been considered myself a sailor, because he's, of course, on these big ships. And he said, but I do really understand the benefit of people who are going into the Navy, having that opportunity on a small boat to get out there and learn about the elements, because those same elements impact a destroyer as a small boat. If they respond differently, of course, when they're under power and so forth. But that that idea of education, you know, for people who are going into officer training or just even serving in the multiple roles on a ship is really supported by the Navy and the Coast Guard.
Yeah, my dad told me when he was at OCS in Newport that even though they were going to be on aircraft carriers, they still had to learn the nuances of sailing. Okay, here are a couple other boats for you that are not of the J category. I feel like I should know this one, the Hobie 33.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that one. This one's funny, the XP-44 Polyester. Have you heard of that?
Now, that's one I haven't heard of, so.
All right. How about the Melgis 30 Cougar and the Melgis 32 Fearless?
Well, those are two I have not sailed.
You call yourself an ex? No, I'm just kidding.
there are so many boats. Well, and a lot of boats that I know about, too, are not necessarily the racing class boats, mm-hmm. which tend to be, you know, everybody sailing on the same boat in their class. Mm-hmm. But even custom-made boats, you know, we have, there's a lot of boats that are made just are one-off.
There was also, this sounds like right up your alley, there were 24 teams from around U.S. and Mexico that were in San Diego this weekend competing in the Women's Winter Invitational, which they said was very fiercely fought.
Yes. Yes, and I love a women's invitational and all those women sailors out there. It was I picked up this directory for the Pacific Club Yachting Association that was published in 1940 here in the Northern California area. And I was looking through the directory, and it had all the Commodores. There were 20 clubs of PICYA at that time in 1940, and not one Commodore was a woman. And the only picture of a woman they had in the whole directory was a woman hanging from a mast, and it was a clothing apparel ad.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, now, and really, in a lot of these things, women didn't become, integrated into even the military until and private clubs until the 1980s, and they have some fierce and awesome skills when it comes to competition on the water. Mm-hmm. And also hardiness. You remember Pip O'Hare and the Vandeglobe, we talked to her about her around the world circumnavigation, you know, fixing her own rudder out there in the middle of the ocean in adverse conditions. I mean,
yeah, I don't see how gender would matter. It's really your seamanship and how you can handle pressure out there. Yeah.
I think that's true. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
As a history guy, I was intrigued to see the headlines coming out of Australia, of all places, that they think that they found the HMB Endeavour, that's Captain Cook's ship, in Narragansett Bay in Rhode Island at the bottom. And everyone's like, don't get too excited. We don't know if this is it just yet. But are you also intrigued by that story?
Well, I am. And having seen several ships that have been on the bottom of the ocean floor in clearer waters where I could, you know, without being a super deep sea diver, see them, I can tell you that when a boat sinks, it becomes a reef. And so it transforms into all kinds of coral and mm-hmm. sea life. And it would probably be a little bit difficult to discern some factors unless they were picking up artifacts or things, because, you know, you don't want to destroy that beautiful reef that's occurred there.
Karen Lyle, you also, there's a school called the Sailing Portal.
Yes.
Yes. And it is an accredited school. And what can you tell me about the owner of that school?
No, I'm just going to tell you about that it's a U.S. sailing accredited school. Mm-hmm. And yes, I put my hand into starting a sailing school. And it was really because during the pandemic, there's a really great school that I just loved called OCSC that was located in the Berkeley Marina that closed. And mm-hmm. there's been so many businesses that have closed during the pandemic. And I know many of the instructors who were teaching there. And so I decided to just use my organizational skills to set up a small sailing school, and I took it to U.S. Sailing and got it accredited, which right. means that U.S. Sailing sets the standards, and we basically teach the course that U.S. Sailing accredits. So it's really, you know, closely affiliated. They don't do that with many schools, the accreditation process. And the teachers are the same as the ones we had at OCSC, plus a new one who came over from ASA. And because I am one of those people who didn't necessarily think about taking professional sailing lessons when I started, I decided that if I'm going to own the school, I darn well better get the certifications myself.
So who's going to have the temerity to flunk you when you're the boss?
You know, as a matter of fact, I had to have a couple of extra lessons on the water for the small boat, because I was sailing, as we were speaking of J boats, on a J24. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing a lot of sailing on 36-foot boats or larger. And I will tell you that it's a different experience to do a small boat. So knowing how to, you know, because, you know, for example, a roller furling jib versus a hanked-on jib. So a hanked-on jib is where you put the jib on yourself with these little attachment, metal attachments that go up the forestay, and a roller furling is where it's already rolled in a circle around the forestay, and you just mm-hmm. pull it out. They're different levels of work that you get involved in. Mm. And so I did my basic keelboat course, and then got certified, and then I just got past the practical for the U.S. Sailing Basic Cruising Course, which is how you become a captain. So on Sunday, I took the J-24 that I own for the school out myself as captain on that particular boat for the first time with a friend, and spent an hour at the dock showing him all the things he needed to do. And we went out and went sailing in a beautiful 10 knots of wind, and it was very empowering. I mean, I've been sailing with experienced sailors who know so much more than me that they take in the roles, and I didn't have. It's like always a first mate, never a captain, because I'm, you know, I mean, you know the people I know because I bring them to the show, right? And so this is something that I'm just learning for myself, and since I have the courage in many areas, I have courage to learn to and admit what I don't know yet and learn it. So
great. And then for people who want to get involved in the school, where do they go?
They can go to sailingportal.org. And basically, another thing, too, is that people, I've had people coming to me, had a sailor who has a 39-foot Janot over at the Sausalito Sailing Club, who's been sailing for 37 years and a U.S. Coast Guard captain. And he says, I want to go charter in Croatia. And they require a bareboat charter accreditation from a sailing school, and I don't have that. And U.S. Sailing does have accreditation that can be translated anywhere in the world for bareboat charter, which is, means you go there and you are the captain of the boat. And so he came and challenged the course. So somebody who has a lot of experience can challenge the course, which means they go out and show their skills, take the written tests, and, you know, within, you know, a couple of days can basically have the accreditation as long as
they show it.
So.
Great stuff from Karen Lyle. And as we leave you, what's the name of your boat?
Well, I have two. I have one Callisto, which is the J-24.
Callisto and?
Yes, and the other one is Sandpiper. And Sandpiper is the 36 Hunter Vision that I've had for maybe about 4 years. And she's my fifth boat in the series of that size of boat.
Very cool. SailSportTalk.com. Check it out. Karen Lyle, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.